out of that. They come into the pulpit, they was already on something, amen. Bible does say, be not drunk with wine, but with the Spirit. They was full of it, amen. They was full of it, amen. If you got your Bibles tonight and you're happy about it, take them and turn to James chapter number 4. I know what y'all was worried. Y'all was worried I was going to Exodus, wasn't you? Huh? Man, I tell you what, I struggle with it all day. I talked to Brother Chris today, earlier today, and I told him I have a message in Exodus. And I'm telling y'all, my wife, when she got home, she said, what's wrong with you? I said, the Lord won't let me preach what I want to preach. And so he's got me in James. And if you know your Bible, you know why I don't like preaching in James. Amen. James will take that belt off in a hurry, amen, and whoop you. Some of y'all ain't never been whooped, amen. Some of y'all just got spankings. I don't even know what a spanking is. My daddy whooped me, amen. Whooped. Amen. James chapter number 4, and are you thankful I didn't say James 3? Does anybody know what happens in James 3? The old James starts talking about that mouth, that tongue. And he talks about how that tongue is deadly poison. Amen. How many of you know the tongue is dangerous? It's violent. And we used to sing the song when we were kids. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. They lied to me. Some of the most hurt I've ever been is when somebody said something that hurt me. Amen. And James talks about that in chapter number 3. But I just want to have Bible study tonight. Is that all right? Amen. I don't have a nice message for you tonight. I just want to study our Bibles together. Amen. We're the church of God, and I believe that'd be good for us. Amen. Amen. So let's just dive into it. This is something that the Lord has had on my heart. I sent this to Brother Colby earlier in the week, and the Lord just will not let me go. He just will not let me go, and maybe I'm preaching this tonight, and I know this is cliche, and I know preachers say this so often, but maybe I'm just preaching this to me tonight. And if that's the case, then I'm okay with that. Amen. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord wants me to say what I'm fixing to say. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and dive right into chapter number 4 and verse number 1, and we're going to read down through verse number 8, okay? And that's going to be our text for this evening. So let's start in verse number 1. It says, from whence come wars, fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Ye have not because, say it, ye ask not. James stops right here, and as he begins, and let me just say this about James. I believe this is James, the stepbrother of Jesus, and he wrote this book, and we know that James got saved. The scripture tells us this, and when we look at the book of James, we see that he was a man who followed Christ. He followed Jesus with great devotions. I don't know about you, but if I wrote a book in the Bible and I was the stepbrother of Jesus, I'd be name dropping, amen. As soon as I started off, I say, yeah, he's my brother. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's like if you meet Michael Jordan, every conversation that you have from that point on, you're like, yeah, this one time, me and old MJ. You know what I mean? Y'all know what I'm saying. We name drop, right? And so James, being the stepbrother of Jesus, he could have easily started his book of the Bible that God allowed him to write with, how y'all doing? My name's James. I'm Jesus' brother. That's how we would have started it off, right? Let's look in verse number 1 of chapter number 1 real quick. I'm just giving you a little background. Look what it says. James, a servant. He's not boasting. He's not proud of who his lineage is. He's not proud of who his brother is. I'm sure he is. But he doesn't get prideful and say, hey, I'm Jesus' brother. We got the same blood. He just says, I am a servant. Amen? Amen. Lord, help me to be a servant. Lord, help me to be a servant. And he doesn't just stop right there. He says, I'm a servant of God. Praise the Lord. And if you have a brother in here, you would know why he would leave off the next part. He says, I'm a servant of God and of what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Zachary Harrington would never say that. Amen. He would say, I'm a servant of God, but he wouldn't say, I'm a servant of Dalton. Okay? James here goes to the extreme and he says, I'm not just a servant of God, I'm a servant of, he don't say it, but my brother, Jesus. Amen? Amen. Talk about a humble man. Talk about a devout Christian. I love this man. Quote me here. Early history, very good early history, says that James was a man of prayer, so much so that his knees had large and thick calluses, making him look like the knees of a camel. Amen. Now, this isn't in the Bible. This is just history. It also says that James was martyred in Jerusalem by being pushed from a high point in the temple. The fall did not kill him, and on the ground he was beaten to death even as he prayed for his attackers. My goodness, what a man of God. What a man of God. And so I wanted us to get an idea of where James is coming from. James is not a prideful man. James is a man who knows his limitations. And he says, I am a servant of God. James is a man who's willing to pray so much so that the historians wrote that his knees were covered in calluses. He was so much of a godly man that the Bible says that he prayed for the people who were literally in the act of beating him to death. And then in chapter number four, we're going to read tonight, I believe, how he came to that place. Amen? Bible says you have not because you ask not. He first deals with us. And by the way, if you read James, he's going to deal with you. Amen? And I like that about James. We need more James today. Amen? There's a lot of people who will preach the righteousness. They'll preach righteousness, but they won't call you out. Amen? And James is one of them guys. He'll just call it out and then just look at you and let you just get mad about it. Amen? He says, you have not because you ask not. He first gets on to them because they're not even praying. Let me ask you this question tonight before we go any farther. What's your prayer life look like? What's your prayer life look like? How often do you pray? How often do you pray? Some folks say, well, I pray every day. I'm not talking about over your food, amen. I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep. I'm talking about when's the last time you had communion with him and it was just you and him? James said, hey, the problem you're having right here is because you're not asking, you're not praying. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. He gets down to verse number 3, then he says this, you ask and you receive not. Hold up a minute, James. You just said I have not because I ask not. Now you're saying I ask and I receive not. What's going on here? Something ain't right. He says, I'll tell you why you're not getting nothing. Because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. What's he saying right here? He's saying, at first he says, you have not because you ask not. You're not even praying. You're not even asking. You want the blessings of God. You're not even asking. Then, how many of y'all just got fleshly when you heard that? You have not because you ask not. And first thing you thought of, well, I'm going to start praying for a new house. I'm going to start praying for a new car. And I don't just want a Camry, amen. I want a Land Rover, amen. You have not because you ask not, Lord. I'm going to ask, amen. And James says, you're just as bad. Because you're asking after your own lust. Are y'all with me? Say amen. And I want to read this to you. I thought this was pretty good. We must remember that the purpose of prayer is not to persuade a reluctant God to do our bidding.
The purpose of prayer, listen to this, is to align our will with His. And in partnership with Him, to ask Him to accomplish His will on earth through us.
We talked about on Sunday morning our banner, our standard. And we talked about how many of us have what? Fall out of line. I wonder if our prayer life has fallen out of line. And we're praying for things over here and God's trying to go this way. Are y'all with me? And James is saying there's some of y'all that ain't praying, but then there's some of y'all that you're praying, but you're not praying for the will of God. You're just praying for your own lust. You're just praying for the things that you want selfishly. Are y'all with me? Anybody mad at James beside me? You ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Verse number 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. I guess it's adulteresses. Y'all stay with me. I read in a book, and I'm not going to say this is 100% true because I did not go and look this up for myself. But I will say, as I was reading before I came in here, right before I came in here, I didn't have time to fact check it. But it says in the early Greek manuscript, the word adulterer was not in this verse. It was only adulteresses. So that means y'all women need the Lord. Amen. You know, I thought it was the most interesting thing, Brother Edmund. That's why I went ahead and said it anyway. Because the reason that this word, they believe this word was added to this text is because the scribe that translated this didn't want the men to get left out. And he thought he was talking about sexual immorality with someone outside of your marriage. That's not what he's talking about. Amen. Stay with me. Amen. This is the Lord. We are married as Christians. We are the bride of Christ. And so if you take adulterers out, it's just ye adulteresses. We're the bride. We're the adulterer. Why? Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. What is he saying right here? He's saying, in Cotton Patch, South Georgia language, you cheating on the Lord. Amen. You're an adulterer to the Lord. You're supposed to be married to Him. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. And you done come out here and come best friends with the world. I heard a preacher say one time, you married to the world and you date Jesus on Sunday. Amen. Are y'all with me? James has just straight up called him out. He says, I know what you're doing. You're cheating. You're outside of your marriage with Christ. You're not acting like the bride of Christ. Anybody else mad at James? Amen. Calling me a cheetah. Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's his question before we go any farther. We're just Bible study tonight. Amen. You cheating on the Lord? I know. I'm wore out too. Lord done wore me out on this all day. Amen. Are you a friend of the world? It's quiet in here. When we are a friend of the world, when we are actively seeking the things of this world, we are being unfaithful to Jesus Christ. That's right. And the Bible calls us His enemy. That hurts, don't it? Verse number 5. Y'all ready for some more Bible study? Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? What's he saying right here? Who lives in us? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And guess what? When you date in the world, he gets jealous. That's what it says. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Let me read this. Y'all stay with me. Think of the inner pain and torture inside a person who is betrayed by an unfaithful spouse, who must reckon with the truth, I am faithful to them.
but they are not faithful to me. This is what the Spirit of God feels regarding our world-loving hearts. It's how Jesus feels when you turn your back on Him after He has been faithful time and time again to us. Brother Jake, one of the best singers in the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. Got up here and sang just a few minutes ago. He's never failed me. He's faithful time and time again. But yet, so many times, we step outside the relationship and we love the world. I'm telling y'all this because God dealt with me about it. Remember I said at the beginning, if nobody else is for me, y'all just let me preach to me. Amen? And I hope somebody else is getting some help. I don't want to be unfaithful. I don't want to be known as the adulterer because I stepped out of my relationship with Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now we get to my two favorite verses, and I'm going to give you all these two verses, and we're going to be done. Amen? We're going to try to get out of here early, but I just want to give you what's on my heart. Next three verses. But He giveth more grace. Let me stop right there. I almost went too fast, Brother Johnny. Let me read that again. Verse number 6. But He giveth more grace. I almost got ahead of myself when I was introducing that song a little while ago, Amazing Grace. And I said, for every time I fail, He gives more grace. Now y'all know what I was talking about, amen? But He giveth more grace. I'm going to say it again. Just let the Bible penetrate your heart tonight. But He giveth more grace. You say you don't know where I've been. He giveth more grace. You say you don't know how many times I've been unfaithful. But He giveth more grace. Somebody say amen. I figured some people would be shouting, amen. I figured when we start talking about the grace of God, I'm glad it don't run out, Brother Gary, amen. I'm glad that His mercies and His grace is new every single morning, amen. I'm glad for all of my sin, there's more grace. I wrote this down. He has more grace, Brother Edwin. Somebody better write this in your Bible. He's got more grace than you got sin. Amen. Somebody say amen. That'll make a true Baptist shout. Amen. Amen. But He giveth more grace. We just Bible study tonight. Amen. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace unto the humble. Has He given you grace tonight, church? Amen. Are you here by the grace of God? Amen. Are you thankful for it? Amen. Amen. Two more verses. Verse number 7. Submit. Uh-oh. We don't like that word. My wife definitely don't like that word. Amen. I'm just kidding. My wife don't listen, Brother Johnny. I say, woman, submit. And she looks at me and I say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. James said, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit means to willfully put yourself beneath.
That's right. Come on.
Are y'all with me? James is saying, hey, Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. And when you come outside of the marriage with Christ and you're unfaithful, there's more grace. Somebody say amen. I just can't get over that. But then he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Put yourself in subjection to Him. What does that mean? Without getting all over my studies, because we ain't got time. It means to fear God. Preachers don't preach on the fear of God anymore. But we are to fear God, and we're not, now don't get me wrong now, we're not supposed to be scared of Him.
Right.
Stay with me. We're supposed to be reverent and respect Him.
Right.
We're supposed to love what He loves
right.
And hate what He hates.
Right.
Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
I am not scared of God. I'm scared that I will do something against God. That is the fear of God. I'm not scared that He's going to zap me. I'm scared that what I'm doing is breaking His heart. What would happen if Calvary Baptist Church got real good and fearful that we were going to break God's heart? He says, submit yourself. What is He saying? He's saying, fear God. Submit yourself to Him. Hate what He hates. Love what He loves. That means when God tells you no, that means no. That means when God tells you no and nobody's looking, you still don't do it because you know He's looking. And you're scared that you might hurt His feelings. Somebody say amen. I don't want to hurt Him. He's been too good to me. He's been too good to me. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Submit yourselves. Then directly after this, let me just say this real quick. If He were, this is a quote, not from me. If He were a tyrant, it might be courageous to resist Him. But since He is our Father, it is ungrateful to rebel. If He were a tyrant, it might be courageous to resist Him. But because He is our Father and our Lord, it is ungrateful. There are so many Christians today, including myself, who are not submitted. We're not submitted. I was talking to somebody the other day. They said, the Lord's been dealing with me for 3 weeks on that. Huh? Are you bragging that you're not submitted? Huh? Y'all, listen. If y'all can see the back of my legs, they're purple, okay? He's been wearing my butt out all day, okay? You bragging because you are not submitted? You're bragging because you don't fear Him? You're bragging because it's all right for you to break His heart? Why aren't we submitted, church? How many people do you know that are sensitive and submissive to the Holy Spirit? How many people do you know that can't go by somebody without having a burden for them because they know they need Jesus? How many people do you know that'll break down in a grocery store line because God nudged them to pray for the person in front of them and they're not going to break His heart, so they fear God more than men, and so right in front of everybody they just start praying for somebody? What is that? That's somebody who's submitted. That's somebody who fears God. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
That's somebody who cares about what God thinks about them. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
And so many times we brush off what God is. We sit in the church service and He says, go get it right. And we'll say, we'll wait. You're unsubmissive. You don't fear God. I'd hate to meet God in disobedience. One of my favorite quotes by Kevin Kuykendall, he says, we should live our life as though Jesus died yesterday, rose again this morning, and He's coming back tomorrow. I don't want to meet God with an unsubmissive, prideful heart. I don't want to meet God as an adulterer. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
James is wearing me out today. Let me ask you this question. Why ain't we broken about it? Growing up, me and my dad, if y'all can't tell, we pretty tight. We did everything together. We hunted together. We fished together. Brother Johnny, I'm doing it now with my son every day. You can ask people who live around me. My arm, my rotator cuff, it's about to fall off. Every afternoon, that boy's, Daddy, let's go throw. And I'm out there throwing him pop flies. Same thing with my dad when I was little. Man, we were tight. We were close. And there's times, Brother Johnny, my dad would not even spank me. He didn't even have the decency to spank me. Amen. He would just say this phrase. How many of y'all know what I'm fitting to say? I'm disappointed in you, son. Huh? I'm like, dude, just go get the belt and wear me out and it's over with. We can go throw a ball after this. Amen. It's still time. There's still daylight. Amen. He says, disappointed. You know what? That was worse than a spanking. Because you know what happened when he was disappointed with me? He wouldn't want to go throw the ball. Y'all just let me say what I got to say. He wouldn't want to talk as much. You know, I think the Lord's the same way.
Amen.
You know, I think the Lord gets disappointed in us at times. And I don't think he talks as much when he's disappointed. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Somebody in here is trying to figure out why the Lord ain't talked to you in a while. He's disappointed. You're not in subjection. Being submissive and fearing God says, whatever he says, I will do. Wherever he tells me to do it, I will do. Are y'all with me? I think about Abraham and Isaac. Most outrageous request ever made by the Lord. Maybe not the most, but one of the most. Abraham, I want you to take your son, that one you prayed for, that one you were burdened for, that one you couldn't sleep about, the one you begged me for, the one I promised you, I want you to take him and kill him. I want you to sacrifice him to me. I don't have time to go there, but take my word for it. If you don't believe me, go read it yourself. The next verse says, and very early, Abraham arose. You know what that is? Godly fear. You know what that is? Submission. You think Abraham wanted to get up? You think Abraham wanted to kill his son? No, but I tell you what he didn't want. He didn't want God to be disappointed. Are y'all with me? Why is it? Why is it that it breaks our heart? Are y'all with me? Is it just me? Why is it that it breaks our heart to give up what God's asking? Why is it? I mean, if Abraham can get up the very next morning early and go with his son, I don't think God has asked that of any of us.
Amen.
Are y'all with me? Submit yourself. Then I want you to notice this. Because directly after he says, submit yourself, look what he said. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is why I believe he put these in the same verse. Because there's a choice. Are y'all with me? Y'all see the choice? You're either submitted to God or you're submitted to the devil. Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that. A book I'm reading, and I haven't got all the way through it, so I ain't going to tell y'all what it is. Amen. I just don't know if there's bad doctrine in it or what. So I ain't going to tell you. Book I'm reading, I was reading it the other day, Brother Johnny, and it said, your distance to God is directly related to the temperature of your Christian life. And he used a beautiful picture of the solar system. He said, there's some Christians that are Mercury. They're hot. They're on fire all the time. Right? And there's some Christians that are what? Pluto. This is what he said. It blew my mind, Brother Jeremy. He said, they're in orbit, but they're cold.
That's right.
Then he said, what's even worse is those Christians who live on earth, because some of the time they're hot in South Georgia, and some of the time they're what? Make no mistake, he says. They're all in orbit around the sun, S-O-N. Some are hot. Some are cold. What does that mean? You can be in orbit, sitting in church pew, and be cold. Are y'all with me? And you can be hot part of the week on Sunday and Wednesday. You're submitted to God. And you can be cold Friday and Saturday. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. I believe he put these in the same verse because I believe there's a choice he's wanting us to see. I believe there's an ultimatum here. You're either submitted or you're not. Amen. What are you, church? What are you? I want to read this last verse and I'm done. Okay? Verse number 8. Will y'all allow me to do that? I know it's later than I want it to be. Give me just a second, okay? This is the most convicting thing that I read all day. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Most convicting thing I read all day. What do you mean, Brother Dalton? How is that convicting? What a terrific statement. Draw nigh to Him and He will draw nigh to us. What a blessing. Why is it convicting? Because we're not nigh. And this verse is now telling me that the reason I'm not nigh to Him is because I haven't, what? Draw nigh to Him. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Let me give you this phrase. Y'all ready for this? You are directly responsible for how close you are to Him. He said He will draw nigh to you as long as you're drawing nigh to Him. So when you come to the preacher or when you come to the altar and you say, I'm not close to God right now, what you are actually admitting is I'm not moving in His direction. Because He's not going to allow you to draw nigh to Him and He not draw nigh to you. We have this misconception that we look at Brother Robbie and we say, oh my goodness, look how close he is to God. Look what a relationship he has to God. Look how much scripture he knows. Look how he's filled with the Holy Spirit. You want me to break a little news to you? Newsflash? You can have the same relationship. The problem is, Brother Robbie is drawing. The word draw, let me give you a definition. It says to come near to approach. Why? We look at Brother John de Benice, we look at Brother Jason Hall, we look at all these big name preachers and we say, man, what a Christian. Girls, y'all look at whatever lady you look up to. And you say, man, what a relationship. Man, look how submissive she is to the Lord. Look how sensitive she is. When God says, dude, look at that, look at that. And you know what? God wants that for you. You say, oh, God don't want that for me. I'm going to prove it. You ready? Psalms 139, verse number 17 and 18 says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. David says, Lord, you think about me so much, it's more than the sand. Wait a second. Do y'all realize how much sand's on this earth? When's the last time you've been to the beach? Amen. I listened to a preacher. I got this from another preacher. He says this. Let me see it. Let me find it. He says this. He says, if you were to think about the same thing every 12 seconds for the next 40 years, including day and night, you would fill up a shoebox with sand. Let me say that again. If you were to think about something, the very same thing, every 12 seconds for the next 40 years, day and night, every 12 seconds, you would fill up a shoebox. And the Bible says that He thinks about you more than the sand on the earth. He says this, the hairs on your head are numbered. For some of y'all, that ain't that hard. Amen. Huh? What are you trying to say, Brother Dalton? I'm saying you're on his mind a pretty good bit. And I probably wouldn't believe you if you told me that he wasn't wanting to have a relationship with you. Go ahead, Brother Caleb. I am directly responsible for how close I am to God. The Bible says, if God said it, take it to the bank. He cannot lie. Not that he won't. He can't. And he says, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. You are directly responsible for your relationship with God. It's not Brother Robbie's responsibility for how close you are to God. It's not my responsibility. It's not your friends. It's not your family. It's not your wife. Kids, it's not your mom, dads. Your relationship with God depends on whether you are drawing nigh unto Him. Because I can assure you that as soon as you take that first step, He's going to take more than one. He thinks about you night and day. More than you could ever imagine. You are on the mind of God. Can you understand what I'm saying? He wants you. He wants you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Church, He wants to have a relationship with me. But it is up to us to draw nigh unto Him. Submit ourselves to Him. Be faithful to Him. Resist the devil. Are y'all with me? Y'all seeing how this is all tying together now? We must draw nigh unto Him. Quit telling your friends how you wish you could be close to God. You can be. You can be. Are y'all with me? You can have the same, if not a better relationship with God than anybody you could possibly think of. You look up to somebody, you can be just as close. But it takes you stepping, drawing nigh to, approaching God. When? Every day. When? It depends on how close you want to be to Him. So I don't want to be that close. Then just stay where you are. But there's somebody in here, maybe it's just me, I want to be close to Him. I don't want to be an adulterer. I don't care about this world. I want Him. I want to be right next to Him. When I wake up in the morning, I want to be right next to Him. Are y'all with me? Say amen. When that valley hits, I want to be right next to Him. You with me? When that mountaintop hits, I'm going to be right next to Him. Are y'all with me? The most beautiful thing in the world is He's just waiting on me. The most convicting thing in the world is He's just waiting on me. Are y'all with me? One of the most beautiful statements in the Bible is the most convicting statement. Here's why. Because I'm not closer than I am right now. If it depends on me, my relationship with God doesn't depend on God. What I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to say it politically correct, but I'm just going to say it. My relationship with Him doesn't depend on Him. He's already won. He's already done His part. My relationship with God depends on me. Your relationship with God, I bet y'all could probably finish my sentence. It depends on you. Draw nigh to Him, church. You ain't got to wait till January 1st. To make a decision to live for God. You ain't got to wait till January 1st to say, this year, in the year 2024, I'm going to be closer to God than I have ever been. How many of y'all have ever said that? Let's be honest. We've all said it. You can start today. You can draw nigh to Him tonight. Are y'all with me? You can wake up in the morning, draw nigh to Him. Submit yourself to Him. Resist the devil and He'll flee. Y'all with me? I wonder how many of us tonight, I'm done. I wonder how many of us tonight said,
Brother Dalton, I now know that it is my responsibility to get close to Him. See, some of y'all been waiting on Him. He's waiting on you. Some of y'all been waiting on this emotional experience and you ain't gonna get it. It's one step at a time in His direction. Draw nigh to Him. He'll draw nigh to you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder if anybody needs to draw nigh to Him tonight. Say, Lord, I'm sorry I hadn't been faithful. Lord, I'm sorry I've not been submissive. Lord, I'm sorry I haven't resisted the devil. Lord, I'm sorry that I haven't drawn nigh to You. I know You're waiting on me. Lord, I don't want to waste another moment. Lord, I don't want to be separated from You any longer. I don't want to be this far away. Lord, the closer I get to You, the more I realize I'm a lot farther than where I should be. God, help me. Lord, give me the discipline. Lord, to every day take a step, maybe two, maybe three, drawing nigh, Lord, approaching You, getting closer to You. Lord, I don't have to preach in front of thousands. I don't have to sing in front of thousands. I just want to be close to You. Lord, if I never get to preach again, I just want to be closer to You than I've ever been. Lord, I want You on my mind constantly. Lord, I want to talk to You constantly. Lord, I pray that You'd help me. Lord, give me the discipline. Give me the strength to take another step. Lord, I know Your thoughts of me, I can't even put a number on. I'm sorry it's taken me this long. Lord, I pray that You'd help our church to get close to You. Lord, help us to, all of us, Lord, get close to You. Well, thank You. In Jesus' name, every head bowed and every